honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes as we wrap up a second episode with a decorated veteran of the wars in Korea and Vietnam by the name of John D. Hosey. Again, if you missed the first part of his story last week, you can pull up that episode and any of the 700-plus episodes of this program at hometownheroesradio.com.
So many of these stories are ones that I think a lot of people listening have never heard before and certainly haven't lived through ourselves, and I'm sure there's much more where that came from. And if there's anything else that's important to you to share, feel free, but I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us a story that nobody else could tell. And as I, you know, take stock of all this, you serve in the Korean War, in combat, in the Vietnam War, with everything you just talked about. You've also been a firefighter and in law enforcement, all the categories that we usually check the hero box for. You've lived all of those. I'm wondering, as you look back, what are the things that you're most proud of or most thankful for?
Well, there's a couple, Paul. One of them is my wife. I don't think that I could have done near what I have done in my life if I hadn't had a great companion by my side. And being married to her for 66 years and all that we've gone through, she had 5 miscarriages during our life. She went through, well, when I was, one time when I was wounded, she got notification. She did not get the notification. My sister-in-law called her and says, have you heard? We just heard that J.D. got shot, that he got killed in a chopper fight in Vietnam. And I had told Sandy on a tape recording, do not believe anything that you hear unless you get it straight from the military, from the Army. So after Louise told her about that, she contacted the government, the Army, and they got back with her and said, no, he was wounded. He's okay. He's not dead. So that whoever told you that got the wrong information. Well, what they had gotten wrong was the aircraft that I had checked on. The pilot had been either 4 or 6 wounds across the chest, and that's where they connected me. And I had not been. To start with, I hadn't made major yet, and to start with, he was Major Hosey, but it wasn't Hosey. I did part of the mission, but I was not the one that was killed. She went through that. She went through all of the miscarriages except one without me. She stuck with me through thick and thin, and we've learned to really love and care one for another. We've got one boy that died with a brain tumor at 27. We've got a daughter down at Bonnie Lake that is a wonderful daughter. We got a son that works for Costco. He's been with them for 30-some-odd years. He's photographed cars that I can't imagine paying $600,000 for. And then I've got a daughter that works for a cancer research here in Seattle, in Edmonds. I got a bunch of great grandkids, grandkids, great-grandkids, and I might even have some great-grandkids out there. But she is one of my greatest achievements. And then another one is that I've had the opportunity to meet people that I never dreamed that I would ever meet. I've met 2 for sure, maybe even 3, counting Crandall, Medal of Honor recipients. I've lived a life that I think my dad and mom would have been proud of. I've always tried to respect other people, and I've always said that I'll respect you as long as you respect me. I don't give a crap who you are, what you are. As long as you do what's right, I'll be on your side. But as a deputy sheriff, I had to walk the talk in order to be and to tell you how to do it. And I'm proud of everything that I've done in my life. And having Chuck Kittles, the Medal of Honor recipient that I was closest to, because I served with him in France, I served with him in Texas, and I more or less served with him in Vietnam. I'm still in touch with part of his family. When he heard my wife had a stroke, he called me and he says, John, told me about a rail system that he had put into his house for his wife who was disabled. And he says, I'll send you a check right now for $2,500 to help you get started on it. That's the kind of friend he was. And having friends like that, I love it and I appreciate him. And as long as I can look in the mirror, Paul, if I can look in that mirror and say, have you done the best you could do in everything you attempted to do all your life? As long as I can continue looking in that mirror and saying yes to that, I'm happy with me. And as long as I can, I left out one thing maybe you should hear. When I retired from the Sheriff's Department, my grandson came up to me and he says, I volunteered you. And I said, what did you volunteer me for? Patrick says, Papa, I volunteered you to be our commander in the Sea Cadets, the U.S. Naval Sea Cadet Corps. And I said, do what? I said, son, I know nothing about the Navy. 13-year-old kid looked up at me and said, but Papa, you can learn. So I took over this outfit. It had 7 cadets in it. I told the parents, I said, I've been asked to take over this unit. Here's my way of handling your kids. And I said, I won't pull any punches with them. And I explained my way of handling it. I said, I'm going outside. I'm going to stand outside for a few minutes and wait on your decision. If you want me, send somebody out to get me. If you don't, I'm leaving in about 10 minutes. So I walked outside the building. I wasn't out there more than 5 minutes till my grandson came out and says, Papa, they're ready for you. So I went back in, and they said, we want you to be the commander. So I applied to be their commander. I went in front of the naval people who was going to approve or disapprove of me. They approved of me, and I wore my Army uniform, I think, for about 2 years, and finally, one of the Navy captains says, you've got to get out of that Army uniform and get into a Navy uniform. So I bought a Naval uniform, and, oh, I guess that picture's still up at the big house up there. But I started wearing a Navy uniform, and I went from 7 cadets to 37 cadets in 5 years. And 5 years, I got out of the Sea Cadets. So that's something that I was proud of. I taught those kids things that they would never get anywhere else. I took them down to Fort Lewis. I ran them through 2 weeks of summer camp with the Special Forces down there. And because I knew some of my nephew got killed in Afghanistan. He was part of the Special Forces down there. Oh, one thing you might be interested in, Paul. One of my flights, we were flying and surveying, and I saw a guy running through the jungle in the black pajama type stuff. And my guys found him, and we started to shoot him. And I'm sure you've heard the name Nick Rowe, or have you? Mm-hmm. Okay, Nick Rowe. We picked him up. We almost shot him, but we picked him up and got him out. And later on at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, I flew him off and on to talk about escape and evasion courses. So that was, and then sadly enough, he was signed to the Philippines and they got him in the back alley and beat him to death and he died as a full bird colonel. But that's a sad tale there. Another one was that we were doing the same thing. And one of my gunners says, sir, I think I just saw a deer. I said, you're kidding me. So we circled back, and he had seen a deer. Pretty big deer for a deer. I mean, it looked more like an elk than it did a deer. Wow. They said, let's kill him and take him back to camp. You know, China Beach is our Da Nang. And I said, what do you want us to do, get court-martialed? No, but hey, how long's it been since you had deer meat? And I said, quite a while. Well, we circled, We shot the deer. I landed, dropped off one of my crew chief to harness him all up and everything. Got back up in the air, and he waved that he was ready. We went down, picked him up, picked up the deer and took it back to the camp. And Major Ward, my 06, what was in your mind whenever you did that? Do you realize you was compromising your whole ship and everything, and you was on the ground and all? What do you think you was doing? And I said, well, I thought I was getting us some food. And after he got through chewing me out, I saluted him, and as I walked out his door, he says, thanks, John, for the deer meat. So we barbecued on China Beach area out there. China Beach was on TV for a while. Okay, that's where we barbecued, and we had deer barbecue and a wonderful meal. So those are some of the good times that we had over there. Thank you, Paul, for giving me the opportunity to express myself. And all I want to do is thank any and all of our military people for everything that they've done for this country. And if you are a Korean veteran out there, feel free to contact me, and I'll give you a phone number of Susan Key, who is the Korean ambassador for the military, and not for her country, but for us. And she's a great lady, and she can help you get in touch with the Korean people. And the Korean people are really happy with what we did to save their country. But I want to repeat again that, Paul, I've always tried to tell, I know that we got a lot of military people out there that's got problems. They got, I'll call it mindset problems. If they've got problems, find someone who has been through the same area, same problem, same everything that you've been through or close to it. Sit down, talk to these people. Talk out what's in your heart. I've had times that I didn't want to talk about these things. But whenever I was asked to speak at high schools and I started speaking, my heart was opened. And I can tell you right now that I'm not ashamed or afraid of anything that I've ever done. I did it under orders, and I did it because I was there to do it. I did not volunteer to go out and try to shoot anybody or anything. Mm-hmm. But I did volunteer to try to save a lot of lives, and I've done my best at that. And my heroes are the ones that did not come back. Yeah, I've got a lot of hero medals. I got 4 of the top 6, but I'm not a hero. A lot of people call me a hero. But Paul, I did a job that I was sent out to do. And if push comes to shove, I would do it today.
I don't think anybody who has listened to John D. Hosey's story would doubt that one bit. If you have a few minutes to visit hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, you'll also find a short video with Mr. Hosey describing that rescue mission that earned him the Silver Star. And I'll tell you, it never gets old. Every time, no matter where I get to go in this beautiful country of ours, the veterans I have the privilege of meeting always amaze and inspire. Thanks again to Mr. Hosey and his lovely wife, Sandy, for letting us into their world. And thank you for listening today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.